Hebrews chapter 11, I'll read a few verses, I'll review for literally just about 2 or 3 minutes, and then we're going to jump into the truth tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start in verse number 1. Oh, we'll read down to about verse number 7 and stop for there for now. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 7. Now faith is the, what's the next word? Substance of things hoped for. The what? Evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, what's the next word? Abel. I want you to notice that. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. It was not found, because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and become heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Now, look at me for just a moment, and I want to help you tonight. Last week, we talked about faith being defined scripturally. Let me review very quickly. Faith is a substance by obedience. It is the obedience of a truth. That is the substance of faith. Faith is not some power of positive thinking. It's not I hope so, and I just hope so good that God's got to bless my hope. I believe God can, so God will. That has nothing to do with faith. Faith has everything to do with a substance based on truth. Now watch this. And it faces the proof by evidence. Evidence comes by a trial. Opposition. No trial, no proof. The proof may be there, but it's not brought forward until that trial. So faith has to have opposition. Faith has to have trial for the proof of the truth to come forward. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, that's what we talked about last week. We may not see it all, but it's guaranteed by God. God is the, I hate using this term, he's the cosigner to the loan. We do our part, he covers what we cannot do. He guarantees it by faith. So faith is founded on a truth, it's not founded on a feeling. I don't care how many goosebumps you get, that's not faith. I don't care how, well, I felt the Holy Ghost. Well, you could feel other things too, but we can't see that either. Just because you feel something does not mean faith is involved. Faith is based on a truth, and it's founded in the Word of God. Now, let's skip over to tonight. Last week we defined it. All of chapter 11, from verse number 4 to the end of the chapter, illustrates what faith is. God uses people throughout the scriptures and says, this is what faith is. Now let me show you how these people pleased me with their faith. The first person, verse number 4. By faith, Abel. Abel was one of the sons of Adam and Eve. He had a brother named Cain. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I want you to know by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God was pleased with Abel. He was not pleased with Cain. We'll go into that here in just a second. So God uses Abel, first of all, as an illustration of faith. He's going to kind of somewhat go through the Bible chronologically. Not by order of importance, but by order of event. Now go to Genesis chapter 4 for a moment. Genesis chapter 4. Let's see what God had to say about Abel. Genesis chapter 4. Now let me say something here, and I'm not going to do the scriptures any injustice by saying this. Sometimes we read with too much Western mentality. We read something thinking that it's a storybook and that it happens just page by page by page by page by page. And it does not. I was working on something today. You realize it took almost a week for the children of Israel to cross the Red Sea. It was a 120-mile walk across the Red Sea. How long is it going to take you to walk 120 miles? Some of you would have never made it. They'd have laid you out so that the Egyptian army tripped over top of you. Now, wait a minute. That meant they had to sleep with the wall of water on both sides. We don't think about it. We see this little, oh, we're going to walk across Charlton Heston. Here we go. It's over and all in an hour. Uh-uh. It took quite a while. And if we're not careful, we just read too quickly and don't think about what God's saying here. Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the what? Process of what? That means there's been a period of time take place, correct? That's one of the statements we run by. If they were born, and now one's a farmer of the ground and one's a farmer of sheep, they have to be adults, correct? So it's been a while. Now watch this. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Do you realize that Adam lived 950 years? Do you realize that Noah's daddy lived long enough to see Adam? There could have been hundreds of years pass here. It says in the process of time. And I'll show you how I know it was quite a while in a second. Verse number 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. The Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now, skip down to verse number 11. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. Well, there was more than just Cain and Abel on the earth, because who is going to be there to slay him? And we could go down and look at verse number 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. That's kind of a funny name. On the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a what? And called the name thereof after the name of his son, Enoch. So he builds a city. You don't build a city with three people. There were people all over the earth by this point in time. How long has it been? I don't know. But I want you to notice something. God said in Hebrews chapter 11 that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, Abel obeyed God's word by bringing a blood sacrifice. Abel's obedience to the principle of the word of God was his faith. He said, I'll bring of the first of my flocks, I'll give you the best I have, a blood sacrifice. And Cain said, God, I'm not going to my brother and purchasing a lamb. I'll bring you the best of what I've got. If you don't like it, tough. The difference between man's religion and Christianity. We're not supposed to bring the best we have. We're supposed to obey God. It's not a matter about what we have. It's what doth God require. God wants us to obey him more than he wants what we have. Everybody doing okay? Abel's obedience made it possible for God to bless Abel. Now hang on. God had respect. Look, Genesis chapter 4. Notice what it says there. It says that unto Abel and to his sacrifice, God had respect. But unto Cain, he had not respect. How'd you like God to look at you and say, I disrespect you? I have no respect for what you're doing. Can you imagine how that must have been? Matter of fact, we know how it went, because Cain got so mad, he went out and talked with his brother and got even so mad that he killed his brother. Took his very own hands and murdered his brother. Was this the first murder? It's the first recorded murder in the scripture. Do I know if it was the first one that ever took place? No idea. It's the first one recorded in scripture. But if there's been a couple hundred years take place, who knows? Who knows? Does it really matter? But we know that Abel's faith pleased God. He had respect. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, let me help you with the principle here tonight. Cain brought what he wanted and expected God to accept it. God says, I don't respect that, Cain. I asked you to obey me. I don't care what you have. I want you to bring what I said. Abel took what he had and obeyed God and let God do what needed to be done. Now watch this. This one won't make sense to you, but hold on. Abel's faith cost him his life. Abel's faith cost him his life. You see, he was murdered by his own brother for his obedience to God. Do you see it? Abel's faith, in spite of his brother's opposition, pleased God. Abel faced the opposition of his own brother to the point where his own brother killed him. There's the trial. But Abel said, I'm going to obey God no matter what. God said it, let's do it. But I don't want, doesn't matter what you want, doesn't matter what I want, that's what God said. Your faith may cost you something someday. But material goods here don't mean anything in comparison to eternity. I'd rather die a pauper, penniless, here on earth, but be rich to God by faith. See, quit measuring your wealth and your integrity by here. God said in Hebrews chapter 11, the very first example he uses is Abel. And Abel lost his life for his faith. Let me ask you a question. How far are you willing to go with your faith? Well, somebody made fun of me. Oh, God bless you. Well, preacher, it might cost me something. It cost me something too. But it cost God everything. Cost God everything. You see, it was Abel's faith that pleased God. It was tried in opposition by his brother Cain to the point where his own brother murdered him. But it still pleased God. It still pleased God. Number two, I got to hurry. Next we see verse number 5 in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death. Now everybody look at me for a second. I'm going to unteach some of you. The Catholic religion will tell you that Mary, the mother of, quote unquote, the mother of Jesus, never died, that she was translated to heaven. If that's true, God never recorded it. There's only two people in the Bible translated to heaven, Enoch and Elijah. They're coming back in the book of Revelation, be the two witnesses after the Antichrist sets up, and they'll preach, a great revival will cut loose, many people will be saved, and Antichrist will kill them, and they'll lay in the streets on the TV screens and the news screens and people's phone screens for 3 days and three nights. And on day four, while the cameras are focused on them, they're going to have a two-man rapture in front of the whole world. You see, the book of Hebrews says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Mary was not God. She never has been and never will be. She was not the mother of God. She was the vessel that birthed the body of Jesus. And as I said months ago in a sermon, the miracle of the virgin birth was not the virgin, it's the Father. Every woman could be a virgin. There's only one father who could father a child through a virgin. The miracle was not the virgin. The miracle was the Father. Now, go to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse number 22. Let's look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 360 years. That means he died, or he went to heaven at 425 years old. And begat sons and daughters. Can you imagine being 425-year-old and having kids? There's hope for you, Brother Jim. You're not even a fourth of the way there yet. You ought to see the grin on his face now. Look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Now he was only 187 when his firstborn came along. Now wait a minute. Enoch is used as an illustration of faith. Now, something very interesting. You could go back to chapter 4. We go back to chapter 4. Both Cain and Seth had descendants named Enoch. Look at verse 16 again in chapter 4. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare who? Enoch. And builded a city and called the name thereof after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad. And Irad, that feller. And that feller begat that feller. And that feller begat that feller. And we could go on. But those names are used again. But if you look at chapter 5, that's after the son that replaced Abel, a man named Seth, was born. And God's recording the genealogy of Seth in chapter 5. But both of them had descendants named Enoch. It was not the descendant of Cain that is the Enoch that was translated. It was the descendant of Seth that was named Enoch that was translated. How many of you have a name that somebody else in your family, either before or after you, you share the name with? All right? Still going on. Nothing unusual about that. Just different sides of the family. And that's what was going on here. Don't confuse the one in chapter 4 with the one in chapter 5. Two totally different daddies. Make sense to everybody? All right, just thought I'd throw that out there for those of you Bible scholars that think you know something. Enoch obeyed God, walking with God, in obeying him so much that one day God said, Enoch, you're closer to my house than yours. Just come to my house today. And God took him to heaven that day without death. You have to understand, that's about 7,000 years ago. Enoch has still not yet died. Say, preacher, how does that take place? When you get to heaven, you can ask God that question. I don't know. I'm not foolish enough to try it. I've heard people say, well, he'll just be a week older because a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. It didn't say that it was 1,000 years, but it will seem as though it is. 1,000 years to us would be like seeming like just a day with God. So incredible. But God didn't say that time passes by thousands. He's been there. Since the day God took him, almost 7,000 years ago, he's still in heaven. Well, how could he live there? Well, Jesus is the man part of God. We'll be there. Nothing unusual about that. We know that God took Elijah up in a whirlwind. So God's taken two people to heaven who never saw death. They will come back. God, let God be true and every man a liar. God's word says, as it is appointed unto every man. Did he not? That's what he, go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So if two don't get that dead, God's a liar. God says, as it is appointed unto men once to die. They haven't died yet, but they will. Now, they're only going to be dead for 3 days and three nights, but they'll still die. And God said that Enoch's faith blessed him. Now, how do we know? I'll show you how. Enoch's faith is going to be tested by Antichrist. He had enough faith to walk with God, he's going to come back and face the old devil himself. Y'all think you got a tough one. How'd you like to know you're coming back to do battle with the devil for a while? And it's not your mother-in-law, fellas. I mean, it's the real devil. Old Slewfoot. You see, his faith will be tested and he will be put to death for it. But the evidence will come forth on that fourth morning when Elijah and Enoch say, let's show them. And they get up and on public radio and internet. Can you imagine what people are going to do? You see, they're going to face the opposition to their faith during the tribulation. They have yet to face it, but they will. Because all faith will be tested. Now, let's keep on going here. Number three, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Notice those last few words. Not seen as yet. Do you realize by Genesis chapter 7, there had been about 1,300 years of world history take place and there had not been one drop of rainfall. By the time the flood came, 1,600 years. 1,700 years later, total of history had taken place. 1,700 years, the world had not seen rainfall. There had never been a clap of thunder or a flash of lightning. God watered the earth. There was a water canopy around the earth's atmosphere that kept the violence of the sun rays away, kept a perfect humid atmosphere, and the ground watered itself with dew every morning. All over the globe. But sin brought problems with that. Say, how in the world did we have a flood? Well, God cut loose all the water. It's going to rain, Noah. What's rain? Water's going to fall from the sky. Right. Can you imagine having never seen it rain ever in 1,700 years? And believing a story that God's going to bring water down from the sky enough to cover the whole earth. Imagine how much people are going to want to take you to the funny farm. He's building a boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall, and he's almost 1,000 miles from any body of water that could float it. It's not the only boat that was ever built. They were navigating the world by then. But it's the only, but it was way too big for the little creeks and rivers where he was at. Not only that, can you imagine the migration of animals that came to where the boat was? He didn't go out around the world and bring them. They came to him. Imagine that, Brother Steve, man. Can you bring a few extras? Got three of them, God. Couple extras came by, amen. Got to feed the family. Now, wait a minute. Can you imagine what people began to think as these animals from all around the world started showing up? There's Brother Noah taking them by the mane and by the hair and picking up the birds and taking them in, and they're just walking themselves in there. Makes you scratch your head a little bit. He kept preaching, and the only people that were willing to get on that boat with him was three of his sons, three of his daughter-in-laws, and his wife, and I'm not sure they wanted to get on there. Took him 120 years to build that boat. It must have been in Jefferson County. Waiting on a permit. No wonder he got drunk afterwards. Wait a minute. Everyone in the world opposed Noah. Every last one of them. Nobody else would get on that boat. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. But I want you to notice what God said in Hebrews chapter 11. But Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with what? Everybody look at me for a second. There's fear in faith. Whoever's living by faith and they're not afraid, they're a filthy liar. Preacher, what are we going to do? We can't rent Aiken Center forever. Thank God. Took a little bit of faith. Buy four acres of ground with no money. Then we're going to put a building on it. How you going to pay for it? I don't know. God's going to provide. Don't you think I was a little afraid? How'd you like to put your name on top of a mortgage to build on this property, building this size, not knowing who's going to put money in the offering plate next week? Do you think there's a little bit of fear? I remember standing right over here. There was a pile of dirt about 20 feet tall. This building was just framed in. Sun was going down over here one evening late. I stand up there. I said, God, what am I doing? How in the world are we going to do this? I said, God, we've gotten it this far, but I can't go any further. I'm going to have to stop. I just keep on going. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose everything, but it's worth it. You know, within 48 hours, there was a $25,000 check in my hand. Guess God can do it, can he? Do you think I was afraid? Yeah. I don't think. I know I was. There's still days I'm afraid. Say, preacher, you're afraid? Yeah, I just don't tell you. I call it the duck philosophy. Did you ever see a duck swim? Just like this on top of the water? Have you ever seen their feet underneath? I've learned how to hide my panic, amen? Say, preacher, do you ever get fearful? Yeah. I'm just not going to tell you when it is. You see, Noah was afraid. He moved with fear. Say, but preacher, it's too big. I don't see how God, you don't have to. That's what faith's all about. Amen. Quit trying to see it. Let God see it. You see, Noah was willing to obey without understanding and without seeing. He just did it. But I imagine when he walked in and God closed the door on the ark. If you go to Genesis chapter 6 and 7, you find out God closed the door and God sealed the door. Can you imagine walking in and all of a sudden that door goes... Imagine faith was getting pretty real. They waited 7 days, nothing happening. Can you hear the people outside mocking? But when the first clap of thunder hit and the lightning flashed and the rain started, I imagine they were glad they were on the inside. Imagine they wept as they heard people outside scraping at the sides, beating at the sides of the ship trying to get in. Hearing people take their last breath as they're screaming outside. Imagine they were glad they were on the inside, but imagine it was pretty hard for a while till the screaming stopped. Imagine all the animals and their dying, bleeding breaths. Imagine it got pretty violent for a while. But they were safe inside. God blessed their faith. Number 4, and I'll hurry. Look at verse number 8. I wanted to take a whole night and do this one, but I'm not going to for time's sake. Look at verse number 8. By faith, who? Now I'm going to show you something here. God says that Abraham 4 different times in this passage, it'll say by faith, Abraham. 4 times God was pleased by Abraham's faith. I want you to notice with me. Verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Notice how the word obey is with faith. On every one of these. He obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when he was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he would receive the promises offered up of his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. I want you to notice four different times God says about Abraham, by faith he pleased God. In verse number 8 is when God said to Abraham, I want you to leave the land of the Ur, the Chaldee, go to a land that thou knowest not. That's eastern Iraq, and I want you to clear over to Israel. He said, where's it at? Just keep walking, I'll tell you when you get there. How'd you like to pick up your family and say, we're moving, where are we moving? Don't know, but when we get there, God will tell us. My poor wife felt that way when we left Indiana, went to California. We pulled up in front of the church, Brother Steve. She said, honey, do we have a place to live? I said, nope. Well, where are we going to live? I said, don't know, but we're here. You mean, I don't know, but we'll figure it out. I honestly had no idea where we were going to stay that night. None. I knew it wasn't going to be inside the cab of that truck anymore because she'd have killed me. God said that pleased him. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise. He started building and developing it. Verse number 11, through faith also Sarah. Sarah gave birth to their son Isaac. Everybody look at me. I want you to notice Ishmael's not mentioned. Ishmael didn't please God. Isaac did. Ishmael was not by faith. Isaac was. This is the battle of the Muslims of today. The problem in Gaza right now, Ishmael, because Abraham listened to his wife and took Hagar in an adulterous affair. Everybody doing okay? God didn't hate Ishmael, but Ishmael was not going to be the promised seed. It wasn't until he was 13 years old that God gave Abraham and Sarah Isaac. You see, Abraham's faith was based on what God said, and he just obeyed. That doesn't mean Abraham was perfect. He messed up in between there a few times. Do you know that Lot wasn't supposed to be there? He wasn't supposed to go home and pick up any of his family. He's supposed to just go. But he stopped by home since he wasn't too awful far off and picked up his nephew and said, come on. That whole mess with Lot would have never taken place had he just kept on going. Abraham could not see all of the house. He just knew God said. May I help you with something in your Christian life? Quit worrying about how and quit worrying about why and just do what. Okay. So all you have to do is the what. Too many people are worried about the where, the why, the how, and the when. You can't take the gospel to the wrong person. I've had missionaries and preachers, well, I'm just praying for God to show me exactly where to go. Well, bless God, what are you doing now? Well, I'm working and I'm not doing much. Well, you think God's going to send you somewhere to go build a great work for him if you're not doing anything for him now? Get busy, serve God, go pick a place. God will forgive you if you pick the wrong one. I don't think he's going to have to forgive you as much for winning people to the Lord in Africa if he wanted you in Europe. But I do think you're going to have a whole heap of forgiveness needed if you're sitting in America doing nothing. Everybody doing okay? When Abraham did it his own way, he messed up. Lot, Hagar, Ishmael, etc., etc. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Do you remember him taking Isaac up to the mountain to sacrifice him? Do you realize Isaac was a grown man, probably 30 years old? He wasn't this little boy that you see in storybooks. He was a grown man. And Abraham said, put the wood out there. I got the fire. And Isaac said, but Dad, where's the lamb? And he said, you're it. He said, okay, I understand what God told you. And if this is it, then this is it. And Abraham believed that even if he had killed Isaac, God was going to resurrect him. That's what it says here in Hebrews chapter 11. He had so much faith that if he had plunged that knife into his son's chest, that God would raise him from the dead. But God stopped him. I love what it says in the book of Genesis. And God provided himself a ram. He himself was the ram. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. By the way, listen to this: these next couple statements. None of these people asked for the trial to go away. Abel didn't ask for the problem to go away. Enoch didn't ask for the problems to cease. Noah didn't ask for the flood to be taken away or the building codes to be changed. Taken away. Abraham didn't ask for all the problems that came his way to be taken away. They just obeyed God and made it through the problems by faith. Quit asking God to take the trial away and ask him to bring the evidence to the top. Obey clear up to the last second where it doesn't make sense. True story. There's been about three times in the church's history that I wasn't sure we were going to make it another week. Just didn't see how it was going to work. And said, God, I don't know what else to do. I've spent sleepless nights. God said, okay. But you didn't quit doing what you're supposed to do. Let me show you what I'll do. And God did it. Say how? I don't know. I just know he did. I didn't ask him to take it away. I just asked him to extend it a little longer. In all of these illustrations, not one of them asked for the problem to go away. They were willing to let the evidence prove right action. Don't ask for the opposition to be removed. Ask God for the grace and the strength and the live right enough to where you get to present the evidence and win for God. That's what pleases God. Do you think God's pleased with how we behave when we're under pressure? Instead of fussing and feuding, how about we start trusting and obeying? Instead of getting cranky with everybody, how about we leave it in God's hands and show the world how God can do it? That's called living by faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I got to crash land the plane. By faith. The rest of the chapter is all illustrations how that people lived by faith. And we think our little petty problems are tough.